Hey everyone, welcome to Homer's Dope Nuts, a weekly Simpsons podcast where I, the Simpsons guy, and my co-host, El Rey, discuss and review every episode of The Simpsons ever made. We break down the episodes, discuss some of the references, and try to connect our younger listeners with the Simpsons family and how life has changed since the inception of the show over 30 years ago. We hope you enjoy it and provide feedback as we're always looking for ways to improve the show. Hi everybody, and welcome back for another episode of Homer's Dope Nuts. As always, I am your host, the Simpsons guy, and I'm joined by El Rey.
Ahoy hoy everyone.
So we have come to a little point in this season.
Yeah. A low point.
Yes, this is probably the lowest point of the season. It's not even the whole episode either. It's just the very last
parts of it. Yeah,
the
exactly.
The very last little minisode of this episode is so disappointing. But there might be a reason for that. We'll talk about that when we get there.
Yeah.
So we're here to talk about the 24th episode in the 8th season of The Simpsons. This one is called the Simpsons Spinoff Showcase.
So it's not a clip show, which of course the Simpsons guy, if you've been listening, absolutely hates.
Yeah,
and I understand that.
This is they make little spin-off shows out of the Simpsons.
Yeah,
and if you're not familiar with spin-offs, guys, you basically take characters out of one show and you give them their own show.
Mm-hmm. Like the big ones were like, let's see,
Laverne and Shirley from Happy Days.
Yep, Frasier's a spin-off from Cheers. Uh-huh. Yeah, there's quite a few.
Yes.
Right? Like, so even now, they still do these things. Mm-hmm. Even with like certain cartoons and all that stuff. Like with Airbender.
Yes.
Then they do
Korra.
Korra's a whole legend thing, mm-hmm. right? So, yes, guys, spinoffs are very, very common. But yeah, so we have here not a clip show, but instead some mini-sodes.
Yes. And this originally aired May 11th of 1997. Since this isn't a traditional episode, guys, we don't have our traditional chalkboard or couch gags.
Yes, we are sans gags. And we actually start out with, you know, a good alternative, I'll say. And that is, of course, the one and only Troy McClure. And that we, as we mention every time, voiced by the late, great Phil Hartman.
Yes, I still can't believe his wife went crazy and killed him.
Apparently it was like medication-induced. Yeah, she was on a bunch of meds and something happened.
Lost it.
Yeah, so. Mm-hmm. Oh, man, it's still, that thing's still fresh, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
That's crazy.
So many years after.
Right, so we see Mr. McClure walking down. He looks like in a museum, yeah. right? And you have all, I'm guessing it's a cinematic museum because you have all these old posters from classic, you know, television shows and
spin-offs.
Stuff like that.
All
right?
Of those,
spin-offs,
all
yes.
All of those were spin-offs too.
And so he starts and he's like, spin-off, is there any word more thrilling to the human soul? Ugh, it's terrible.
Yes, very, very, very bad way to start.
Mm-hmm. So he starts with his, you know, what he always does. Hi, I'm Troy McClure. And he said, you may remember me from such TV spinoffs as Son of Sanford and Son and After Mannix.
I don't get the Mannix one.
Yeah, I don't get the Mannix either. Mm-hmm. Right? And so he gets to the end of the hall. He turns around. He's like, I'm here at the Museum of TV and Television with a real treat for Simpsons fans.
TV and television?
Yeah. That's weird.
Yes.
Right? And he says, because tonight we present the Simpsons Spinoff Showcase. Right? And so we see the word spin into the screen, right? And you hear the audience, right? The I'm guessing it's a live audience.
Live studio audience.
Yeah, and the credits are playing, right? And all that happens, right? So that's the end of our little introduction, right? And we cut back to the museum. And then Troy goes on to explain that the network approached the Simpsons team with a simple request.
Yes. They're having trouble filling up their schedule for programs.
Yes. And man, that took me back when I rewatched this the other day.
Why is that?
Because the three programs on there were The Simpsons,
uh-huh.
The X-Files,
yep.
and Melrose Place.
Oh, God.
Oh, wow. I haven't even thought about Melrose Place in
since the 90s, actually.
Forever. I will say, X-Files, totally rewatchable.
Yes.
Yeah, we're going down that road again. Mm-hmm. And, dude, X-Files still holds up.
Awesome, you know what show. Other show is really good and it's in the same vibe as X-Files? Hmm. Have you ever seen Fringe?
Yes, I've seen some of Fringe. Oh, that's really good. I need to see more of that. That's pretty cool. I used to like also back in the day, around that time, they had an updated version because they updated all the time. Had an updated version of The Outer Limits.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and I always loved The Outer Limits. Yeah. You know, that was a great show.
That's kind of like the Twilight Zone, yeah, for those of you who don't know.
And we had our scary version, which was Tales from the Crypt.
Yes.
Classic. Mm. They don't make them like that no more, man.
No. But you can only see that one on HBO, right?
I don't know.
Is that the one with the skeleton?
Yeah. The Crypt Keeper? Yeah. I think it started like that, and then I think eventually they started putting them on TV.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's how it went. But, yeah, so apparently the ask from the bigwigs at Fox is 35 new shows to fill up a few holes in their programming lineup, right?
Sounds like they need them.
So we see the chart.
Revamp the whole damn thing.
Yep. And so he goes on to said, instead, they turned out three Simpsons spinoff, transplanting already popular characters into new locales and situations, which is, of course,
what a spinoff is,
right? And so he starts. He's like, first up, a gritty crime drama starring Springfield's beloved Police Chief Wiggum. And he says, keep at least one eye open because his best friends, the Simpsons, just might pop in to wish him luck. And he says, let's wish him luck too. Good luck, Wiggum. And he salutes the camera, right? And he picks up a solid gold remote control. There's a screen there in the back. He turns on the screen. And we see the opening credits for, I'll let you introduce it.
Chief Wiggum, P.I. Which is, I guess, like a little homage to Magnum P.I.
Yes. And they even do the intro, very similar.
Have the music.
Yes, but it's a different party town. We're not in Miami. Mm-hmm. We are, of course, in Nolens, right?
Was that where that was filmed? I always thought it was Hawaii. I never paid attention to it, though.
No, that was Hawaii 5-0.
Oh, okay. So Magnum P.I. was in Miami.
I believe it was Miami, yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. So the episode starts with Wiggum roaring into town in a red convertible. Mm-hmm. Right, he's driving pretty quickly because, you know, looks like he's late for an appointment at a shootout that is happening because he just shows up at this random bar and starts shooting out the windows.
It's crazy, right?
Why are you shooting out the windows of a bar? Mm-hmm.
And we see him on a rooftop chase, right? And he's jumping between buildings and stuff on a motorcycle. Like, okay, that's weird.
Uh-huh. Something tells me Wiggum wouldn't be that graceful, right? Mm-hmm. So he does a little, finally, right? He even gets into a fight with a crawfish.
Yeah, he's eating crawfish.
As he's trying to eat it, right? Mm-hmm. Don't you have to, like, crack the shell?
They're dead already, yeah.
Yeah, and this, he was going to eat its shell and all, but it was still alive.
Yeah, I had it once. It's not for me.
Yeah, I mean, like,
it's not worth all the... Yeah.
Just give me the big lobster instead of 40 of those things.
Yeah, no thanks, yeah, man. No.
All right, so Skinner then...
His co-star, right?
...introduces his co-star, one Seymour Skinner, but...
His new name.
His new name is Skinny Boy.
That's his informant. Oh, as you might have guessed, we're having a work day today.
Yes, we're recording this at work.
So which means we're going to hear another one of those in a few minutes.
You'll hear another one of those guys.
And so we see Skinner like kind of talking to an informant, mm-hmm. right? And then, of course, we have Ralph Wiggum is in the show too.
Mm-hmm. Right. And he has a little red crayon. And on the door where it says Chief Wiggum, P.I., he writes a little G at the very end. Mm-hmm. And, of course, they all find that amusing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so we actually start the show, right? And we see Wiggum, Skinner, and they're all taking boxes into the new office that they're going to have, right? Mm-hmm. And Chief Wiggum starts, New Orleans. The Big Easy. Sweet Lady Gumbo. Old Swampy. Which is not a name for New Orleans.
Yeah, it isn't. So the first order of business for the new detectives in the area is to explain how the hell they got there in the first place, right? Mm-hmm. So we learn that Wiggum was kicked out of Springfield Police Department because of massive corruption. Mm-hmm. Surprising?
No.
Not very surprising.
Not at all.
And then Skinner tells us about how he grew up in New Orleans.
Right. Yes, apparently another wrinkle to the Skinner saga right there. Uh-huh.
And he had a brief stint at Springfield Elementary as their principal. But now he's back where he belongs.
Yes, he's always been a small time hustler at heart, apparently, yeah. Which mm-hmm. is so weird.
Yeah, because right? he's so square.
Mm-hmm. And so the conversation gets rudely interrupted because someone throws a skull through the window, right?
Yep.
And, you know, Skinner just tells him, looks like you got an enemy, Chief. You know, folks here don't much care for law and order types.
And Wiggum picks up the skull with a pencil, right? He's like, is that right? Maybe they'll change their minds once I arrest them for throwing skulls all over my floor. He puts the skull on the desk, right? And he dumps pencils into the eye sockets.
Pretty creative.
Yeah.
I can't fault him for that one. This is a pretty cool pencil holder.
Yeah, I know. We're actually talking about something like that in psychology. It's called functional fixedness. Mm-hmm. Where if you see a skull, it's like it's got no other use other than holding your brain in place, right?
Mm-hmm.
But Wiggum here saw other uses for it.
Yeah.
As a nice little pencil holder.
There you go.
So, you know, after he makes his very snazzy decoration, right, they keep talking. And later that night, because he's living in a houseboat now, he's tucking his son, Ralph, into bed. And he goes, oh, man, what a day. It's no cakewalk being a single parent, juggling a career and a family like so many juggling balls. Two, I suppose.
And we see Ralph there, right, in bed. And he says, Daddy, these rubber pants are hot. And we can see that Ralph is completely like in a rubber suit.
Uh-huh. And Wiggum goes, you'll wear them until you learn, son. I guess he's still having accidents at night.
Yeah.
Pretty gross.
That's pretty gross, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so we cut to the next day, right? And Wiggum and Skinner are at the Bourbon Street Eatery, right? And so we see this chef come in, right? And he gives them a whole plate of crawfish. And he says, I guarantee. And Skinner's like, will you stop saying that? Because apparently that's, you know, the lingo over there.
Yeah. You remember that guy in the commercial? I guarantee.
Yeah, that's the parody of that, yeah. Right?
And then Wiggum goes, so, Skinner, who do you figure threw that skull through my window?
Mm-hmm.
He's like, what's the word on the streets?
And he says, well, to be honest, Chief, I haven't lived in New Orleans for 42 years. Although, according to an article I read in Parade magazine, square, yes. Dude, square.
All right, so how can you claim to
be a hustler at heart?
You're
born and raised on the
beach. Born and raised on the, and you haven't been there. He can't be more than 50 years old.
No.
But he hasn't been there in 42 years.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, no.
And so Skinner continues and he says, a criminal by the name of Big Daddy runs this town.
So Wiggum's like, Big Daddy, eh? Well, he won't feel so big if he messes with Chief Wiggum, P.I. again. Which I sincerely doubt he will.
Yeah. But alas, Big Daddy continues, mm-hmm. right? So we cut to that night, and while Wiggum is asleep, we see him in his bed, we see a little shadowy figure in the window, and then somebody throws an alligator in his window, right? And it actually goes into Wiggum's bed and starts to nibble on his head, right? And at first he's like, stop it. And then, of course, he wakes up, and he freaks out, right? He bolts out of the bed, and he fires, like, his whole clip of his gun.
And he manages to miss the alligator completely.
Yeah, he's like 5 feet away at this point, guys. Mm-hmm. This is ridiculous, right? And they all miss. But Skinner hears the commotion and he jumps into the room and wrestles the alligator into submission.
And Skinner goes, lucky for you, this is just a warning gator. Next one won't be corked. And he opens up the gator's mouth and we can see it's got corks all over the teeth.
Yeah.
So he can't really bite them.
And so Wiggum shouts into the night, listen up, Big Daddy. You don't scare me. I'm 3 steps ahead of you.
So Skinner goes, Chief, your boy has been kidnapped.
And he's like, oh, God. So yeah, so much for being 3 steps ahead, right?
Uh-huh. All he's worried about is getting chewed on by this alligator. His little son is being kidnapped.
Mm-hmm. And we look at Ralph's bed and we see another skull, right? So he's left his calling card. Literally,
mm-hmm.
because we do see a business card on there, and it says Big Daddy, and I like the little caption. It says, like, as seen in Parade magazine.
Yes. So Wiggum you know, shakes the skull and a little card comes out. It's like, looks like we got our first case ever, skinny boy. And this time, it's personal.
It's terrible.
Yes. So then we cut to a shot of New Orleans.
Yeah, we hear like a narrator like, Chief Wiggum, PI will return.
Yes.
Right now. So there's no commercial, right? And back to the show. So we cut back to the office, the phone rings, and Wiggum answers the phone and says, who is this?
And Skinner's like, it's me, Chief. I'm on the other extension.
Because they both pick up the phone at the same time, right? Uh-huh. And so we see Big Daddy, right? And he's very Cajun.
Yes.
And he's like, so now you listen up, mon ami, and you listen good, hey? The name's Daddy. Charles Daddy.
And so Wiggum goes, Big Daddy, what have you done with my boy, Daddy?
He's like, the boy is fine so far. I taught him to play the spoons. We see Ralph like sticking him into his nose and then tapping him together. Uh-huh. He's like, if you want to see that boy again, I suggest you leave town today. Yeah. And he hangs up the phone. Right.
So Wiggum hangs up. He's like, sounds like there was some kind of party going on in the background. Are there any parties today, Skinner?
And I love this. That he says like, well, New Orleans isn't really a party town.
Again, he's not really from New Orleans.
And he says, though, if I remember correctly, they occasionally have some function called Marty's something. Really not from New Orleans. Because even if you're not from there, you know about Mardi Gras. Yes, of course. So, I love that joke, though.
Yeah. So they go over to the window and they open up the shutters and they see the famous Marty something parade going on, right? Yeah.
Which is like there's a parade every day in New Orleans, which is crazy.
Yeah. And don't even get me started on the funerals.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to give it to them. It's, yeah. Get their own
They're thing. Unique.
At least you can drink at those funerals.
Yeah, yeah. It's about the only town I know you can drink down the street.
Yeah. And so Wiggum runs down, right, because they hear all the noise in the background of the call. And everybody's wearing their party masks and their their little disguises and stuff. Mm-hmm. And at one point when he runs out, he gets freaked out by these weird-looking costumes. Mm-hmm. And then all the masks come off, and it turns out to be the Simpson family. Yeah.
And Wiggum's like, if it isn't my old friends from Springfield, the Simpsons, what brings you folks to New Orleans?
And Bart, of course, says, Mardi Gras, man. When the Big Easy calls, you got to accept the charges.
And Lisa goes, Chief Wiggum, I can't wait to hear about all your exciting, sexy adventures you're sure to have in this colorful backdrop.
And Wiggum's like, well, golly, I'd love to chat, but my son's been kidnapped. You haven't seen him, have you? Caucasian male between the ages of 6 and 10, thinning hair.
Oh, my
God. He doesn't know his age.
I know. And did it sound like Lisa was trying to pimp this show?
Yeah.
For the network audience?
Uh-huh.
Oh, my God. So Homer goes, over there. And he points exactly where Ralph and Big Daddy are.
And Ralph's on his shoulders watching the parade, mm-hmm. right? And he says, look, Big Daddy, it's regular Daddy. And why he was just standing there with his kid on his shoulders, I have no idea. But
yeah, so Big Daddy's like, the Chief. Oh, I suppose I best run. And he fans himself with his hat. He's like, Lord have mercy. I wish I weren't so fat. And well, he starts running again.
At least he's honest, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so he tucks Ralph under his arm. And, of course, the whole dramatic foot chase begins, right? They go through the streets of New Orleans, through the graveyards, and to the boat docks, right? Mm-hmm. Which Big Daddy gets into one of those big fan boats,
yep.
right? And he takes off down the river. And then, of course, Wiggum, like most of these shows.
He commandeers his own airboat. Right? He says, police business. And he kicks off the owner overboard. And he and Skinner both chase after Big Daddy in their own little fan boat.
Yep. And so the driver of Big Daddy's boat actually takes a knife out and tries to jump onto the boat where Wiggum and Skinner are on. And I got to give Chief Wiggum credit for the fast reflexes on this one. Yeah. Because as the guy is in the air ready to land, he turns the fan on the boat upwards and it just kind of floats him up in the air and he lands in the water. That was a good...
quick thinking by
yeah,
the Chief.
Yeah, right there.
I never thought he was so clever.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, everybody gets one.
Yep. So the chase kind of ends at this mansion that's on stilts in the middle of the water, right? Mm-hmm. So Wiggum whistles like, what do you suppose the rent is on a hideout like that?
And Skinner informs him that it's actually not rented. It's stolen. That's the Louisiana governor's mansion. It's been missing for 8 months. Yeah, not necessarily up on the law down there, are they?
Yeah, nope. So Big Daddy runs into his office. He sits down. He turns his back to the door just so he can spin around dramatically when they come into the door, right?
Yeah, and Ralph isn't there, by the way. So he goes with Ralph, and he turns around, and Ralph is gone.
Yeah, so all Wiggum can say is you when he sees him again, right?
And he says, welcome to my mansion, Chief. I've been expecting you.
Is that so, Big Daddy? Well, expect this. He takes out his gun. He's like, the arrest of you by me.
And he's not having it, right? Big Daddy's in, oh, New Orleans is my town. Nobody gonna mess with me. I got interests, and I ain't talking about stamp collecting, though. I do find that extremely interesting.
and Skinner's like, oh, yeah? That makes two of us.
Which is true. Skinner is a stamp collector. Yes. Mm-hmm. And says, you know, boys, there's an old saying down on the bayou that, blah. He just throws Ralph at Wiggum and Skinner, and he jumps out the window, and he starts swimming to safety very, very slowly.
And Skinner goes, he's gradually getting away, Chief.
And Wiggum just says, let him go. I have a feeling we'll meet again each and every week, always in more sexy and exciting ways.
Now, I don't know if I would describe another meeting with a very fat man as sexy and exciting.
Yeah. Even Lisa said that.
Yeah.
They're trying to pimp the show, which is hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And Ralph goes, Daddy, when I grow up, I want to be just like you.
Skinner pops in with a zinger and says, better start eating, kid. And they all start laughing, right? Mm-hmm. And yes, we end the pilot of Chief Wiggum P.I. right there.
Yep. So
that one wasn't too bad.
It wasn't too bad. It wasn't great.
Yeah.
But it was decent.
It was all right. Yeah. It was.
It had its moments.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I'd buy Skinner as the leg man, skinny boy. Oh, God. Here.
Skinny boy. Yeah. Who knows?
I mean, I would have made it more interested in giving him Lou or somebody like that.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. That's true. That's true.
Yeah.
So, well. Oh, well.
Mm-hmm. So we move on to the next minisode.
Uh-huh. And we cut back to the museum, the film, the TV museum, rather. And TV and television. And Troy is admiring very closely an exhibit on Charlie's Angels.
Well, I understand why he's admiring the exhibit of Charlie's Angels.
Yes, very, very closely, right? Mm-hmm. And he notices he's on the show again. He's like, oh, hi. Welcome back to our spinoff showcase. Could The Simpsons have ever maintained its popularity without Mo the bartender? Let's hope so, because Mo's leaving to do his own sitcom. But don't panic. He's taking a familiar sidekick with him, and his best friend Homer might just stop by to wish him luck. Let's take a peek.
Mm-hmm.
And so we cut to the next one, right? He flips on the television, and this one is called
The Love-matic Grandpa.
Yeah, I like the song of this one.
Yeah.
It's not bad. The theme song
is... You can sing it, because I...
Yeah, nah, I'm not going to do that. But it's a good one, right?
So... we have a little quick shot of Moe's Tavern. We go inside, or he's tending bar, and we see Barney.
Of course, right?
And Barney goes, as he's finishing his beer, he's like, well, I gotta go. I got a date with the lady in the front of this drugstore who's always yelling things.
And he leaves, right?
Uh-huh.
And Moe looks shocked, and he goes, she told me she was washing her hair tonight. I'm so desperately lonely. And we have a big laugh track on this. One of the laugh track shows, right?
Yeah. How pathetic would you be to get rejected, but then have Barney.
Yeah.
Then Barney gets the girl.
Oh, my goodness.
I may seriously consider what Moe's always seriously considering, mm-hmm. sticking my head in the oven.
And we should say, though, like what they do explain in the little intro song to this is that Grandpa died,
mm-hmm.
but his spirit didn't make it to heaven.
Yep.
And he got caught inside of the love tester machine in Moe's Tavern, right?
Yes.
So, yeah.
In case you're not, what the hell are they talking about, love tester machine?
Oh, God, yeah, that's true.
They used to have, it kind of looked like a video game. It was in one of those big-ass consoles. Mm-hmm. It had a little, looked like a joystick.
Yeah.
But you'd grab it and you'd squeeze it. And I guess based on the squeeze, I don't know, maybe the your temperature grip, of your hand or
whatever it was.
Whatever the hell it was, it would tell you where you rated as a stud.
Mm-hmm.
Were you a dud or were you a stud?
All right, was the lowest one cold fish or something like that? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so At that moment where Moe's feeling sorry for himself, we hear Grandpa, right? And he's just like, quick, your belly aching, you big loser.
Moe's like, who said that?
He says, I did. It's me, Abe Simpson.
But you're dead.
It's like, I died, but I've come back as your love testing machine. I'm the love-matic Grandpa.
And Moe just screams, ah!
Ah! Ah! Yeah, which is, yeah, I'd be weird too, right? Uh-huh. And so we see the, you know, the opening credits, right? Very cartoony. We hear the whole story, right? Mm-hmm. And apparently, right, we won't sing the song, but Grandpa was shopping for some cans and he passes away. Right, the rest of them like fall on him and everything like that. Uh-huh. He has a tragic can accident. And he floated up to heaven and got lost along the way. And yes, now he's the love-matic Grandpa.
Yeah, he had his wings cut off or something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Fell back to earth in this machine.
Mm-hmm. So, there you go. All right, so we're back at the bar. And Grandpa says, don't be afraid, Mo. I'm here to help you with your romantic problems.
And Mo's like, hey, I don't need no advice from no pinball machine. I'll have you know I wrote the book on love.
And it was like, yeah, all quiet on the Western Front.
And then we hear, from the laugh track, we hear a bunch of,
ooh. You gotta love the laugh tracks, mm-hmm. man.
And then Moe's like, kiss my dish rag.
Then we hear the laugh track again, right? Mm-hmm. And Grandpa says, see, that's your problem. You're a crab. Ladies like sweet talking.
Moe's like, hey, I'm sweet. I'm sweeter than Jewish wine.
And so Grandma says, then prove it. I want you to charm the next pretty young thing that walks through that door.
And Homer walks through the door.
Yes.
Greetings.
And of course, the laugh track crowd goes wild, right? Because Homer's showing up at the show. Mm. And this did happen with a lot of spinoffs. Every now and then, you'd get a cameo from one of the original characters from the original show.
Was that the Cleveland show?
Yeah, the Cleveland
show. That was another spinoff.
That was another spinoff. Yeah, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So Homer walks in, right? And Grandpa says, son, it's me. I floated up toward heaven but got lost along the way.
And Homer's like, dad, is that really you?
He's like, darn tootin', you lousy creep. You buried me naked and sold my suit to buy a ping pong table. What kind of son? And as he's going through that, Homer unplugs the machine, right?
He pulls the plug, right? Homer's like, oh, call me when you get a new karaoke machine. And he just
takes off. Right?
Uh-huh.
And the audience loves it.
So Mo plugs Grandpa back in.
Mm-hmm. I like Grandpa's line here, though. He's like, that's the second time he's pulled the plug on me. That's pretty funny.
Yes, it is. And right after Homer leaves, we see a woman arrive.
An actual pretty young thing.
Yes. Apparently her name is Betty, mm-hmm. right? And she claims that she was just involved in a car wreck. When she looks, still looks pretty good after having survived a car wreck, apparently, right?
Yes, in her dated outfit, by the way.
Very, very dated.
So she asked Mo to use the phone, right?
By the way, didn't she have a seriously Diane vibe?
Yeah.
Sam and Diane?
Uh-huh. Yeah, that makes sense now. I didn't even think about that. Mm-hmm. And so she asked Mo to use the phone, right? Mm-hmm. But, you know, the grandpa's telling him, there you go, right? And Mo talks her into trying the love testing machine. He says, it goes by how clammy your hands are. So she tries it, right? Mm-hmm. And of course, Grandpa's trying to help out Mo. So he sets it on. You hear ding ding. Love Lorne. You need man. Mo near now. Go near Mo.
And Betty's like, what?
And Mo says, go near Mo. I'd say that's a pretty strong endorsement. So how about you and I go out sometime? You know, out back.
And Grandpa starts going crazy because Mo isn't being very tactful here, right? He's like, hey.
Yeah, you see the little panel light up right on the machine. And Mo's like, out to dinner at a fancy French restaurant.
And then Grandpa starts flashing again. He goes, ding! Mm-hmm.
And Betty's happy, right?
Yeah. She goes, sounds great. And if this love tester is accurate as it looks, maybe we'll have breakfast too.
And the audience, the laugh track, ooh, which is, okay, I find that very weird. She just got super offended by Mo saying, hey, let's go out back.
But now she's...
she's like, on the first date, maybe we'll be having breakfast too?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it reminds me of Date Mike. How do you like your eggs?
Oh, God. Oh, wow.
You remember Date Mike
now? I do. I haven't thought about that in forever.
So cringy.
Oh, my goodness. Wow. And so Mo's impressed, right? He's like, you did it, Grandpa. You really are a love expert.
Grandpa's like, dang right. Fact is, I invented kissing. It was during World War I, and they were looking for new ways to spread germs.
And Mo just turns at the camera like, get a load of this guy. Because, of course, Grandpa's going on with one of his long-winded tales, which was the style at the time.
Yep. Oh, my God. So, Mo chooses a restaurant called La Snotteria.
It's hilarious.
Yes. I guess it's for snooty people.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And so we see him walk in and he's dressed real nice. But then we see him with a dolly and a suit on the love testing machine, right? And he wheels him into the men's room, right?
And Mo's like, sorry, Grandpa, but I got to stash it in the bathroom so Betty don't get wise to us. And he puts him between two urinals and plugs him in.
Mm-hmm. And Grandpa's like, this is not the evening I envisioned. He's very upset here, right?
Would you like to spend the night between two urinals?
Yeah, no thanks.
No, no. Mm-mm.
Mm-mm. People miss.
Yes. Mo goes, oh, geez, she just got here. Give me some advice. Quit.
And he's like, what the? You know, just be sweet. Pour on the honey, you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Romantic. Ain't sunshine pretty. Ain't flowers stupid. I got you.
Yep. And Grandpa just sighs like, I've suffered so long. Why can't I die?
Oh, my God. And Mo starts to try to woo Betty.
Yeah.
So Mo goes, you know what's great about you, Betty? Is you're letting your looks go gracefully. You're not all hung up on looking attractive and desirable. It's just so rare and refreshing. This is a good way to have the date end quickly.
Thing is, okay, Mo's got the right idea, but his delivery is just terrible.
Yes, you don't say that. You don't say it like that.
Yeah.
It'd be like, oh, I'm just so impressed by your confidence.
Mm-hmm. Or your natural beauty.
Yes.
Yeah, less is more or something, right? Mm-hmm. Like, oh, goodness. And so she's like, okay. So it's like, so Mo, tell me a little about yourself.
And Mo's like, myself? I gotta go to the canning again.
And Betty's like, really? Like again?
And Mo's like, I got the runs.
Terrible.
Why would you say that on your first date?
Yeah. And so we come back to the bathroom and we see our bully friends, Dolph and Kearney, and they are just destroying the love testing machine, right? You actually hear Grandpa like, screaming inside.
Yeah. And Mo walks in and he breaks up the fight. He's like, hey, hey, get away from that. Leave him alone.
And Kearney tells him, it said I was gay.
Oh, Grandpa.
This is pretty funny. That is pretty funny.
Yep. Mo goes, after he kind of like brings him back up, he plugs him back in. He's like, are you all right, Grandpa?
And Grandpa's just in like a haze singing, oh, Daisy, Daisy, give me your answer.
And Mo's like, will you quit clowning? I need help here.
And Grandpa's like, oh, tell her her rump is as big as the queen's. And twice as fragrant.
Oh, God.
What a horrible thing. Oh,
yes. And Mo's like, okay. And he runs to do that. Right? So a few minutes later, we see him wearing his dinner.
Mm-hmm. He walks in. He's got all this escargot on him. Mm-hmm. And he's upset. He says, you are absolutely positively the dumbest haunted love tester that I have ever met. And he pounds on Grandpa, right?
And we see Betty walking into the men's room. He's like, what's going on in here?
And he goes, I might as well come clean with you. I ain't too good at talking to women, and I really wanted to do you. So I brought along the love tester to help me. As you may have guessed, it's inhabited by the ghost of my friend's dead father.
I really wanted to do you.
He's coming clean at least, man.
So Betty, she's angry now. It's like, why are you conniving, devious, monstrous, despicable? Sweet little angel.
And Mo's already like, but Betty, if you just give me a chance, like, what? He freaks out.
And Betty's like, I can't believe you went to all that trouble for me. And she kisses Mo.
Right. And the audience, woo, cheers. Mm. And the love tester machine lights up like ding, 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 ding.
He rates him as a Casanova.
Yes. And Mo and Betty both look at the love tester and go, thanks, Grandpa.
And Grandpa's like, yeah, yeah. Now, how about introducing me to that cute little payphone out there?
Oh, God. Mo and Betty start laughing also, and we see Grandpa's spectral head on the screen, right? And, of course, the song, The Love Medic Grandpa, right, comes on, and we end that mini-sode right there.
Yep.
So that one, not too bad either. Actually, no. I actually like that one more than the first one.
You do?
Yeah, I like it more than the Wiggum PI.
Okay. No, for me, it kind of like gradually descended.
Yeah, I have more of a soft spot for Moe than I do for Wiggum, I guess.
That's yeah.
I like cool. I like Moe-centric stuff. So.
Yeah, yeah. I'd rather watch a show about Moe than Chief Wiggum.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. So then we cut back to our friend Troy, right?
Yep. And Troy and another guy are sitting face to face, right? Mm-hmm. And then Troy addresses the audience like, "Welcome back. I'm talking with the curator of the Museum of TV and Television, Mr. John Winslow."
And he's about to say something, right? He like opens his mouth.
But McClure gets up and walks out. So he's like, "In our final spinoff tonight, the Simpson family finally gets the chance to show off the full range of their talents. Unfortunately, one family member didn't want that chance and refused to participate. But thanks to some creative casting, you won't even notice. Show us what you got, TV."
And this is something that very, very few shows survive, recasting a character.
Yeah. Usually when you recast, you're done.
Yeah. Like, I remember they did it on Family Matters, right? With the mom, the wife.
Yeah.
And I think they did it with Fresh Prince, right? Aunt Viv. It's just not the same when they do that kind of stuff.
I mean, sometimes a lot of times it just kills a show right there.
Like, it's cool when they introduce a new character, but not when they recast a character.
Yeah.
Like, Married with Children did it right. When Steve wasn't going to be on the show anymore, she meets Jefferson. Like, it's just, that's a great.
It divorces Steve.
Yeah, you know, something like that. Just write it into the script, man. Mm-hmm. I don't understand that.
Don't just put another guy in there and give him the same name.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then, what's that show where, what show was it? Where somebody stopped being popular because the cousin Oliver came in.
Oh, I don't remember.
Oh, I forgot which show it was. I was like, I don't think it was Happy Days. I forgot what it was, but there was a show where Cousin Oliver came in or something like that. They reference it on The Simpsons, I think. Or they do it on Family Guy, one of the two. But anyway, so yeah, very few shows get through that.
Yeah.
And so we cut to the next one, right? And we have the Simpsons Family Smile Time Variety Hour. Now, we were talking about this before the show. This is the worst minisode, I think, I would say ever.
Yes.
Including the Treehouses of Horror and all everything. Like, just this collectively, just, I think this is the worst miniseries.
Just horrible. Horrible.
However, we were talking at the beginning of the show, is that intentional?
Because in the 70s, yes. We saw a lot of these variety hour shows.
Yes, and I was told that. I was telling the Simpsons guy that I remember seeing this episode live, and I vividly remember my father being there with me. And when it was over, this one, he told me, like, "You missed that, but that is what the entire 1970s was on TV. All these families that had once been popular or were trying to make it, having a variety show, and it was the same format, and none of them made it beyond by like 3 months. It was just one of those things that just, it was trendy in the 70s, and it just never worked, right?
Was there a version of the reality shows?
Yes. There's the other bell. I'm telling you guys. And so we see that they've used the characters to make it more like a variety show, right? Mm-hmm. So we see Kent Brockman in the announcer's booth, right? Yep. He's like, "Live from Radio City Music Room in downtown Springfield, it's the Simpson Family Smile Time Variety Hour featuring the Waylon Smithers Dancers." And we see them, right?
Yes, and you can imagine now they look ridiculous.
Yes, and the Springfield Baggy Pants Players.
And it was just a bunch of random ass characters from the show.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's like the B guy and other, right? Mm-hmm. Isn't it like McAllister?
McAllister.
Yeah, he's in there. He's like, "And now a family that doesn't know the meaning of the word canceled, the Simpsons," right? And they come in these coordinated, very 1970s outfits, mm-hmm. with the bell bottoms and everything like that. Oh, God. And they have a whole song, right?
Yeah, it's like, and so they start singing, "Come along and bring the family. Come along and join the fun. Come along, join the family. Join the family. Simpson, roll call."
And then each one has their own little song. It's like, Marge is first. Like, "Remember me, my name is Marge, the TV mom whose hair is large." And she holds up Maggie, and we hear Maggie, and that's it.
Mm-hmm. So when we get Bart, step back, Mom. It's Bart turns now. Eat my shorts. Don't have a cow.
That's so bad. Mm-hmm. Well, I love how they make fun of themselves. That phrase died so quickly and like.
Yeah. We saw it like in the first season or something like that. And then mm-hmm. never since.
Remember the album with the Bartman?
Oh, God, yes.
Wow. And then we see the new Lisa. And
she was the one that refused to participate.
Yes. And it's this tall blonde girl, right? And she's like, I'm Lisa, peppy, blonde, and stunning, sophomore prom queen, 5 years running. Go, Lisa. And she jumps up with her pom-poms. And I'm like, okay, so totally anti what Lisa is. Sophomore prom queen, five years running. Wow.
She must really love high school.
Oh, yeah. Right? And, of course, the number stops. And it's meant to look like, you know, it's a problem because Homer's not there, right?
And Bart's like, wait a minute, whoa. Right? He stops the orchestra, right? Stop the music. Where's Dad?
Yep. And new Lisa, says, here he is. And we pan over to the orchestra pit and Homer is there curled up, right? And he says, I'm hiding from the ghost.
And Marge's like, ghost? What ghost?
He says, before the show, you said we were having a special ghost tonight.
And Marge said, I said we were having a special guest tonight, Mr. Tim Conway.
And Homer's like, what's a Tim Conway? And we see Tim Conway walk on stage. He's like, oh, about 120 pounds.
If he's 120 pounds, he's got to be a very tiny, tiny
man. I was going to say, dude, like, yeah.
I was 120 pounds when I was like a junior in high school.
Yeah, I was going to say, I haven't weighed 120 pounds in a long time either.
I should have known. I wasn't even a junior. When I was a freshman, I was 125
pounds. I don't
weigh
much, but I haven't weighed 120 pounds in a long time, Jesus man. Christ. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. At least 20 years I haven't weighed 120 pounds. That's crazy. And, okay, these are the lame kind of jokes that are on every variety special at that era.
Yeah. So Conway shakes Homer's hands, who comes out of the orchestra pit, and then they walk off stage. And now that the misunderstanding has been cleared up, the family regroups to finish their song.
Right. And it's, you know, it's the Simpsons Family Smile Time Variety Hour. And the stage splits into three segments, right? Mm-hmm. The children, right, the left and the right parts. And then in the middle, Homer and Marge are standing on the centerpiece, and it goes towards the audience, right? And so Marge tells us that the family has been busy as beavers getting the show ready.
Yeah, and Homer asks Marge if she...
Oh, there's the warning bell.
Yep.
Awesome warning bell.
I do like the Imperial March there.
Yeah, we're going to hear another bell in a minute.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So Homer then asks Marge if she wonders what it would be like if the family were actually beavers.
And, of course, Marge's like, yes, who hasn't wondered, right? And, of course, this leads to the first little sketch comedy, which is set up inside of a beaver dam. And to the audience's delight, Homer strolls in, right, in a beaver costume, right? Everybody is in a beaver costume.
Including Buck Teeth.
Yes. So they all have a lisp like that, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, honey, I'm home. It's so funny.
And Marge's like, hello, dear. How is working at the plant?
And we're like, it's not a plant, Marge. It's a tree. And I've nearly chewed through it. Now remember, my new boss is coming home for dinner tonight.
And Marge's like, I know, I made your favorite. Steaks!
Not steaks.
These are steaks. STAKS.
Yes, like the kind you put in the fence post and all that kind of stuff.
Through a vampire's heart.
Yes, there you go. Uh-huh. Right, and so the audience just kind of groans, right? Mm. And Bart jumps in. He's like, hey, could you two close the damn door?
And Marge's like, Bart!
She says, but that's where we live. Damn.
And Marge just goes, ugh.
And then, of course, new Lisa walks in. She's like, look, look, everybody, Maggie got her first tooth. And she holds up Maggie, and she's got one big tooth in the front, right? Mm-hmm. And the audience goes, aww.
And Homer's like, now, before my boss comes, there's something important you should know.
And the doorbell rings, right? And Marge just cuts him off. She's like, in a minute, honey. You know, I got to get the door. And she gets the door.
And Homer's like, but Marge! Of course, because she wanted to let him know something before, mm-hmm. right?
And we see the guest, Tim Conway, standing at the entrance dressed as a skunk. And the family just faints, right?
And Tim Conway's like, oh, was it something I said?
Yeah.
What can I say, guys? This is what we got to work with.
I know, right? It's a terrible thing here. But so Then we have some little... This is just where it goes off the rails because there's all these little just clips that do not fit together.
Yeah.
And it's supposed to lead up to something. So we see Captain McAllister, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, oh, someone should be keyholed.
For that last sketch.
Yeah.
Because it was
terrible.
Right?
Yeah, it was terrible.
And then we have a Judge Snyder ordering it. Then, you know, the black judge, right?
Yeah.
He orders it stricken from the record and he calls for the next sketch.
Okay. And so as the next sketch happens, the family's in very 1950s garb and they're sitting in a soda shop, right? And Marge is just looking at, you know, papers. She's like, inflation, trade deficits, horrible war atrocities? How are we supposed to do our big musical number with so many problems in the world?
Homer's like, well, I know one thing in this world that's still pure and good.
Marge's Christian love?
And Homer's like, no, candy.
And he jumps on the table. Right?
Like, sweet candy.
And we hear, dun, 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 dun.
And Homer starts singing, I want candy.
Oh, God. Mm-hmm. And Marge says, but don't you want to end world famine?
And then Bart jumps on top of the booth. I want candy.
And Marge says, or save the endangered Alaskan salmon.
And new Lisa starts, I want candy.
Well, if you won't think of society's ills.
And then Homer, Bart, and Lisa both, all three go, I want candy.
At least think of our dentist bills. And three happy dentists show up with big smiles on their face, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so the song segues, right? And we see the kids on these little peppermints, uh-huh. right?
And they're doing the little peppermint
They're doing
twist.
A twist, right? Uh-huh. Yeah. We know Sunday goes like this. And the name of the dance is the peppermint twist. And that's all it lasts.
Yeah. And then the camera cuts to Jasper, who's dressed like a...
Little newsboy.
Yeah, he's got... Oh, my God. He's just ridiculous, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then he does the lollipop song. And when he gets to the finger-popping part...
Yeah.
He manages to throw his dentures at us.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And then we cut to, I think, which is a travesty here.
Mm.
Waylon in the assless chaps, right?
Yes.
Dresses, yeah, as a cowboy. Wiggling.
I think he was wearing a jeans.
Yeah, yeah. But it's a parody of Devo's Whip It. So we hear the dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. And it's Smithers. So crack that whip.
While his ass is facing us.
Yeah, and a licorice whip. it's doesn't make any sense whatsoever,
no,
right?
No.
But he whips at the end of his song. He pops a bubble that we see Selma blowing on the side of the screen, right? And we go back to the I Want Candy big dancing finale, right? Mm.
And we get joined by dancers who are wearing candy costumes, right? And then they finish and are all panting from exhaustion.
Yeah, they all have the fake smile on, but you see their chest like, I don't know why. I didn't do much, man.
I know. Then we cut to Hans Molman, who's holding the flower.
This is the one redeeming part of this episode. And he's there, he's like, a poem by Hans Molman. I think that I shall never see. My cataracts are blinding me.
Oh.
And a flower wilts in front of him, right? That was the best part of the whole thing right there.
Yes, it is. And then we see Tim Conway, who's still wearing a skunk costume. He's like, and they thought I stunk.
Yeah. Yeah, this is just, again, we're trying. I think it's intentionally written to be this bad.
I hope so.
I think it is. I really do think it is.
And the show's finale is The Simpsons addressing the studio audience from a huge-ass bed.
Mm-hmm. They're all laying in there, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Marge's like, well, it's time to say goodnight.
And Homer's like, I wish our special guest Tim Conway didn't have to leave so soon.
And he pops up from under the covers like, I'm still here. Foxwood and Spring for a decent hotel room.
Marge laughs like, he's just kidding. We'd like to thank Fox and the good people at Budget Lodge.
And Homer says, well, that's all the time we have. So this is the Simpson family saying, as you walk down that road of life.
And then Bart interrupts, hitchhike, it's faster.
And everybody goes, Bart.
And Bart just laughs.
And Marge just says this weird line, like, we're like this all the time.
And all of them at the same time go, good night, everybody.
Yes, and a big pillow fight breaks out. Everyone joins in, except Tim Conway. He takes off, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Troy McClure shuts off the television, right?
And McClure's like, that's it for our spinoff showcase. But what about that show that started it all? How do you keep The Simpsons fresh and funny after 8 long years? Well, here's what's on tap for season 9. And McClure pushes the boat for the button for the remote, right? And then we start seeing
little snapshots, right? And the first one's Homer turning Lisa into a frog, right? Uh-huh. And McClure's like, magic power.
And then we see a bunch of the three sisters, right? Three pictures of Selma marrying Apu, the bee guy, and Itchy.
Yeah, and he then tries their wedding after wedding after wedding.
So he pushes the button again, and we see Bart confronting two thinly disguised variations of himself.
And he says, and did someone say long lost triplets? Now, real quick. There's a black kid in there.
Yes.
How is that even possible? There's a black version of Bart in there. And to my surprise, again, I don't see how Disney is not okay with certain stuff. Mm. But they leave all this on there too. Because, I mean, not that I'm complaining, yeah. But it just makes no sense.
I mean, I guess, well, if you're from this area, right, you know, two Hispanics get together and they have a baby, you never know what color you're going to get.
That's true. Yep, that
could
is true.
Could be a little brown baby, could be a little white baby.
That's true, but the Simpsons are not Hispanic.
Exactly.
and so he continues, so join America's favorite TV family, right? And, oh, God.
We see a little green alien. If you guys ever saw the Flintstones.
Kazoo.
That's basically the same character here.
Yeah, but it's Ozmadyar, right? Or Ozmadyar. Mm-hmm. And that only Homer can see. It'll be out of this world. Right, Ozmadyar?
And Ozmadyar goes, damn straight, Troy, my man.
And they both say, good night, America. The audience applauds, and we fade to black. And we end that terrible show right there.
Yes. I mean, this season was full of gold. Mm-hmm. There's bound to be a dud in there.
Yeah, it was the dud. That was the dud, indeed.
But to put it so close to the greatest Simpson episode ever.
And then the episode after it, the finale of the season is amazing. Good, it's amazing. Yeah,
yes, it is.
This is the only non-banger episode in the entire 8th season.
Could you call this a crap sandwich? Two great episodes and crap in the middle?
No, because the bottom part of it is crap. Mm. The last one's crap. Mm.
That is true.
Yeah. I don't know, man.
Oh, so on a scale of 1 to 5 donuts, don't tell me you give this a 5.
No, there's no way. No. I mean, this is the first time we haven't given one a 5 in a while. Honestly, I'm going to have to say 3.
3.
3 donut episode. Yeah.
You're more generous than me because that last episode really, really, really.
That's so bad.
Really turned me off.
Yeah.
I give it 2.5 donuts.
Fair enough. Yeah. I mean, again, the most centric one makes me laugh, but yeah. And the only redeeming quality of that last one is Hans Molman's poem.
Oh, my God. The cataracts are blinding me.
That's such a good one, man. But yeah. A rare miss in this season.
Yeah. Well, next week we'll be closing out this season.
Oh, I love next week's episode already.
I've been taking a peek to the season 9 episodes.
We still got good ones, man.
We got some good ones to work with. We got some good ones to work with. So I guess we'll keep having fun as long as we can.
Yeah. But yeah, so not our favorite, but you know.
Yeah. And we'll do what we did, right? We'll hang on to the Treehouse of Horrors.
Yes.
We'll do that again Halloween time.
Yeah.
But otherwise, we'll be doing them all on schedule.
Yep.
Is there anything else you'd like to mention before we sign off?
We're 1 week away from spring break.
Yes.
That's all I'm thinking about.
Yes, spring break.
So, yeah, check out our socials, everybody, please.
Yes. That's our official show. Instagram is official_homers_donuts. Give us a follow on there. Don't forget to give us a like,
rating.
Give us a rating if your preferred podcasting platform allows for it. Please give us a rating. It just helps other people find our little show easier. Is there anything else you'd like to mention?
No, sir.
All right. And Until next week, au revoir, suckers.